with staff recommendations. It's a very exciting project.
Second.
All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All right.
That's unanimous. So
thank you very
the
much.
Staff changes, we recommend approval.
Looking forward to seeing the plan.
Thank you. 17. Zoning text amendment introduced by Council Member Silverman, dealing with the process for reclassification of property in a metro station policy area.
This, again, for the record, Greg Russ from Development Review, and also Carl Moritz from Research. Basically, this is to reinstate ZTA 03-06, which was, I think, approved back in the spring of 2003. It lapsed in December of last year. Basically, the council felt that the issue would come up again, I think, during the AGP discussions, but it never did. So
fell through the cracks.
Yeah, so it ended up lapsing, and we're recommending that it be
Mr. Robbins coming up.
Reinstated, but also, as we stated in our original staff report, we also wanted to include as part of this using the alternative review procedures for strategic economic development projects as well as for corporate support and headquarter facilities. Carl and I would be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Mr. Robbins?
Thank you. Steve Robbins with the law firm of Lurch, Early & Brewer. I'll be very brief. I'm here today on behalf of the JBG companies and also the Montgomery County Chamber of Commerce and also as an individual. I'm happy to see that what has fallen through the cracks has finally arisen to having a zoning text amendment reintroduce the lapsed zoning text amendment for metro station policy areas. I understand that the Planning Board wants to expand that to include the strategic corporate projects and things of that sort, and I think that's a fine idea as well. And with that, I appreciate you considering the staff report. Once again, an excellent job. And look forward to testifying before the council.
Just one question. Yes. You were here for three different entities.
All in support.
All in support?
Yes.
Which entity is being billed?
That would be myself. No, I can't say that on the record because you never know. All three. Thank you.
All right. Is there
move approval. Staff recommendation.
All right. Motion to a second.
Second.
All right. There's a motion and a second to approve the staff recommendation, which would also extend this to the economic development, strategic economic development projects that were created as part of the recent AGP revisions. Any discussion?
Oh, yes. I am going to support the amendment. I did support it the first time around because it just corrected an incongruity in that if you already had your approval, you could proceed with the alternative method, and if you didn't, you couldn't. So that even though I didn't support the underlying alternative method, it's just only fair that it apply in the zone in the local map amendment context.
Okay. All in favor of approving the staff report, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That's unanimous. Number 18, zoning text amendment to clarify the intent and purpose of the rural neighborhood cluster zone. Mr. Boyd.
Again, Greg Russ from Development Review. Fred Boyd is taking the lead on this, but you have seen this a number of times, and this is just a formality of it coming back as a text amendment once we send it to council as a to be introduced as a text amendment.
And we still like it.
Yeah. I have a question.
Yes.
Does this influence in any way any ongoing negotiations that are taking place between developers and community groups in terms of the whole question about lot sizes, siting of lots? Now, John is smiling, so he knows what I'm talking about. You
sure
guys
do.
Are confused, and you're the staff. You don't know what I'm talking about? Never mind. Okay.
The short answer would, of course, be no.
Okay.
And I assume that if there are any site developers in the audience there in the room, they're capable of speaking for themselves.
I'm sorry, Mr. Robinson, I did
never
not
mind.
Quite hear that.
I would throw
are
my
there
comment.
Any speakers?
I have one question. One thing I don't really understand in this zoning law, it's not part of the change, but under optional method, a diversity of lot sizes is required. Why? What's that meant to? What's diversity of lot sizes all about?
Originally, Mrs. Perdue? Originally.
Do you want to go back to creation?
That would be painful.
And the Lord created subdivision? I don't remember that part.
In the beginning, there was septic development. The Lord smiled upon septic development, and it was good. The idea of diversity of lot sizes emerged at the outset, at the invention, if you will, of the rural neighborhood cluster zone in 1998. And as I understand it, it arose from the desirability of creating cluster neighborhoods with a village feel, if you will. And the thought that arose initially was that one of the things that contributed to that village feel was collections of relatively small lots. And that accounts for the small minimum lot size in the rural neighborhood cluster zone, the original 4,000 square feet that's allowable. It was also hoped that there would also be, in the open space context, much larger lots. So there was initially a discussion of having a stricter hierarchy, if you will, of lot sizes with percentages of lots allowed in specific ranges. The council opted not to do that in 1998 because it felt that the master plan was a better vehicle in combination with the development process was a more appropriate vehicle for setting the range of lot sizes that was allowable in the zone. So what they settled on was the diversity concept. And the idea was that the original idea was that larger subdivisions greater than 70 acres would be required to show some kind of diversity of lot sizes, which meant that there would be some lots that were relatively small, some lots that were medium-sized, and some lots that were really big. And the whole idea was to sort of accommodate the two combined desires, one, to have everything occur in an open space setting, the larger lots, and the conservation lots would contribute to that. And then there was an idea of having some kind of a village format, and the idea was that the smaller lots would be there.
Okay. Well, what just struck me as odd in the language, it's very difficult to get a sense of what the purpose was, and therefore it's sort of amused about how would you know whether you achieved it, because mm-hmm. instead the language is... under optional method, it's required. It's also encouraged from developments of less than 70 acres in order to provide a range of housing opportunities. And just trying to figure out what that meant. It meant some people like split levels and some people don't. Is this how we're going to get MPDUs?
It's not about how we're going to get MPDUs. I think it was aesthetic, and it was visual. I think it was how you were going to get some small houses. I mean, you kind of the way your rural village looks, with some small houses, with some medium-sized houses, and with some big houses. And I think this was an attempt, if you will, to kind of legislate a little bit of those aesthetics.
Mm. Yeah. What I was making reference to is, did we not we haven't been here for 2 weeks. We haven't been here for a month. 2 weeks before we adjourn for the summer, or recess for the summer, did we not send a developer back along with the instructions. In fact, Mr. Robinson, I think, was the progenitor of the instructions that they should go work with the community group to come to some sort of resolution, because the fact that the developer had a diversity of lot sizes, but the community didn't think that the diversity of lot sizes were diverse enough.
Different
zone. It wasn't an RNC zone?
No, not an R. I don't think it was. It was the TD, RTD zone. That was the Thompson Farm proceeding you're referring to, which is the rural development transfer. I always confused.
That's right. It was a transfer development.
Yeah, it's RTD.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. And this won't have any impact on that kind of argument.
TDR, I don't remember.
Well, I thought I understood.
It also accounts for our ignorance about the negotiations.
They're asking us to mix it up so that it doesn't look prefab, that it looks like it kind of grew organically, the community. But I have a question. On page 5 of the zoning text amendment, it says, cluster development requires a setting aside of rural open space. Rural open space may be used for limited and passive recreation, such as hiking or biking trails. Well, the following classes of uses are not permitted in the rural open space area, but then there's nothing listed there.
That's because nothing was changed from the original ordinance in that area. And I'm going to ask Greg to open this book up for me, and I will read to you the list of uses that are prohibited in the open space area.
But, I mean, if somebody read this, I don't understand what you're saying exactly. Is the text somewhere else and you just left it out? Or
Typically, Greg can amplify this, but unchanged text, we tend not to sort of regurgitate.
Oh, you just didn't reproduce the whole
right.
thing.
Right, we didn't reproduce the rest of that section.
Three, you know, you do a dot, and then you do three more dots or something,
yes.
Or leave text omitted, because otherwise, I mean, I...
Yeah, if it's... once you've finished the paragraph that the pertinent information is in, then you just star it after that, and everything remains the same.
All right, but my big question is, what did you say about ball fields, or where is that? What is the use is that you can't have? And
ball fields are not shown in the inventory of allowable uses in the zone, in the section that shows what you can and cannot do. And it has always been my understanding that a list and something that is not mentioned, you can't do. So ball fields aren't in it, you can't do them.
Okay, this doesn't, you know, the way this reads, I can't tell what's permitted and what's not permitted. It just says what's not permitted. Is this a really long list, is what you're saying?
The ordinance as it was written has an extended list of uses. There is also a footnote that says that there are full classes of uses that cannot be done in the rural open space.
Okay,
and
what
this
are those?
This section talks about that. What you can't do in the rural open space, you may not do what is known as agricultural industrial uses. Bear with me one second here.
Active recreation also, I think it says.
Agricultural, the following classes of uses are not permitted. Classes of uses
okay.
are not permitted. Agricultural industrial uses, agricultural commercial uses, resource production and extraction uses, residential uses with two very narrowly drawn exceptions having to do with a one-family detached dwelling, which you can put on one of the conservation lots and add that lot to the total of rural open space, accessory apartments, certain kinds of farm tenant dwellings, commercial uses, and service uses except home occupations. You may not do those things in the rural open space.
Well, where does ball fields come? I thought there was something also associated with active recreational use.
Right.
So it doesn't – so that's only ball fields could go there.
The – only recreational uses that are allowed in the RNC zone are private hunting and fishing cabins.
That's close.
Private riding stables. And private swimming pools.
But does it say only? Does it make it exclusive that those are the only things you can use, or it just says you can use these? Because if you've got something that says you can use these, and you've got something else that says you can't use these, I think that would suggest that there's other things that maybe you can use and maybe you can't. I don't think that's very clear.
Well, the land use table, I mean, it's pretty how we've interpreted the land use table. If it's not listed as a use in there, and it's one of, if it's not listed as a use in there, then you cannot do it. That's how it's always.
Well, maybe you should add a sentence that says that. How does anybody know that?
Everybody does. I mean, when they call and they, I mean, they do know that. That's pretty common knowledge.
Legislative history should make clear that these uses are exclusive.
Okay.
How about that?
That's good. Yeah, and then is rural open space ever defined anywhere?
Yes, it is.
It is, okay.
It is defined as part of this, of these text amendments.
I was looking for it. I didn't see it.
It is on page 4 of the amendments, beginning on line 16.
All right.
The preserved open space is to be classified as rural open space, which is defined as managed land, as described in section 59C9.573G3, or as unmanaged land, which is land defined, which is defined as land returning to its natural state without human intervention.
But that's all land. Well, no, because I don't know how managed land is defined. That's very
for these purposes, 59C9.573G3 defines managed land. Rural open space may be managed and maintained, but may be modified to improve its appearance, function, or overall condition by using a number of techniques, and those techniques are?
So this is what's in 59C?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
573G3.
Yeah, okay.
Which I'm practically at. It may be the following techniques are reforestation, woodland management, meadow management, stream bank protection, stormwater management facilities, and we are recommending new language there that limits those stormwater management facilities to those that do not require man-made or hard surface structures and that use best management practices as defined by the most recent edition of the Maryland Stormwater Design Manual, which I don't actually have on me.
So you're amending 59C?
Pardon me?
Got it.
And the other two are wetlands management and agricultural management. Those are the definitions of land management for the purposes of the defining a rural open space.
Okay, got it.
Is there a motion?
I didn't get quite to the end of my trying to understand the range of lot sizes. And your memo highlights that the board is going to have to evaluate the range of lot sizes. And then the discussion indicates that this is difficult to do and it's invisible and suggests you don't have a clue how we'd actually do it. And then I don't quite know what – that left me wondering whether we shouldn't suggest a change.
Our intent was essentially that the ball would be thrown back into the court of the master plan to give you the necessary guidance as to these issues so that when the subdivision came in, you would, in Justice Stewart's words, know diversity when you saw it.
You answered my question.
Is the place where it, the only place where it is in, I guess, on page 6 of the draft text where it says diversity of lot sizes. Is this the only place? That's the only reference to it. And we have the first sentence which says you have to have a diversity of lot sizes for the big ones, and then for the small ones, it's encouraged in order to provide a range of housing opportunities, as if maybe that's different than the reason for the. The prior sentence doesn't give a theory. It just says they have to be diverse.
No, I think they eliminated that sentence.
Well, I guess I'm not.
Yes, we did. That whole thing is gone.
Oh, so that's all. Okay, I got you.
So now the sentence reads.
I'm sorry, I missed the end of the
now part. It's required for all developments, and now then they have the new sentence.
For no apparent reason, it's just required.
Yeah. And then the planning board must evaluate the range of lot sizes provided and ensure that a proposed development is compatible.
It's compatible. So now the rationale for a range of sizes is compatibility. And I guess...
One rationale.
Well, it's the only rationale that's the only one that's in there.
Well, true. But compatibility can mean...
I mean, usually what we hear from neighborhoods is that they all have to look alike in order to be compatible. So I... guess I'm...
In this case, we'll use an example from the Upper Rock Creek plan.
Yeah.
On the Casey property, one of the design guidelines has to do with the desirability of having lots that are, when lots are near existing lots, we felt it desirable to have those lots on the Casey property look like the lots in the existing neighborhood. So we were looking for a circumstance in which where an old neighborhood meets a new neighborhood, we want the development on the edge of the new neighborhood to be compatible or close to
right,
or harmonious with the old stuff.
But then we want to make sure that the rest of it looks different because you said they have to be different. So where they meet, they have to be the same, and where they don't meet, they apparently have to be different because otherwise, how do you get this range of sizes?
Well, I think the idea is I don't want to answer, but I remember the Casey property, and the idea was that we were dealing with clustering in a situation that had normally been large lot, like 2 acres. So RNC gives you a very wide lot size range, and the idea was that you'd put basically the very large lots up against, like they were RE1 or RE2, and then as you transitioned into the clustered community, they'd start getting smaller. But then the other issue was that in these Sheffield and the two ones that they have the graphs on, they were upset that they became these teeny little cookie-cutter lots and were all, you know, just put together and had no sense of rural space if you just drove through them. So once you get interior to the subdivision, the idea for staff, and then we'll look at it, is it should be mixed up a little bit.
But it doesn't...
You can't tell that from this.
It just says, according to this, they can be cookie cutter in the middle as long as the cookies in the middle are different from the cookies on the outside, because then you have a diversity of lots.
No, you're right. It doesn't really deal with that other part of it.
It doesn't seem to have.
Well, the first sentence, if you decoupled it, it just says there should be a diversity for all developments.
We know there have to be different sizes.
We don't know why.
We don't know why, and we don't. And as their analysis helpfully points out, much of the difference may be invisible, so that does lead to the question of why.
If a tree falls in the forest, kind of a question.
So it's made me uneasy trying to...
Well, we already, I guess, the chair had suggested a little bit of, you know, legislative history in the letter in terms of, you know, about the use as a rural open space. It's in the record. I can't remember exactly what you said now. Maybe we should say something about the diversity of lot sizes. And the purpose of this was to, at the perimeters of communities where the new community started, to have lot sizes within the same range near existing communities, and then as the development progressed, to have some diversity of lot size there to create a feeling consistent with the rural nature of the zone. Because that's the idea. Because, you know, normally when you go out in the countryside, you don't see lined up the exact same size lots with houses that are exactly the same, and that's what they were objecting to. But we could just maybe say that in the letter, because I think this allows us to do that.
And this did come out of the Upper Rock Creek master plan process.
Right.
For the benefit of those who don't understand it, I guess a paragraph could explain that.
Like in the letter, you know, but in the letter, and unless, you know, Commissioner Perdue just thinks we don't have what we need in there to do what I just mentioned, but
I'm just trying to imagine some poor member of this board looking at this language in the next, you know, in 5 years, and somebody comes in and says, well, I got a range of lot sizes. You need a range of lot size? I got a range of lot sizes. They're all 10 acres here, and they're all 20 acres there. That's...
Yeah, you're right about that.
And we... I just don't know how I'd... And somebody'd complain, and they'd say, no, that's not the right range, and I sort of wouldn't know how I was supposed to think about it.
Well, I don't think there's any necessary correlation between the location of lots and distribution of the sizes. Those are two different things. In the Upper Rock Creek Master Plan, we did plan to have some compatibility by having new lots right along the edge of the area to be compatible or similar to old lots, kind of the amoebic theory of land use planning. The cell divides and it looks like itself, but that's different from saying that there's going to be a distribution of lot sizes, because it's going to be completely consistent with the purposes of the statute to have lot sizes that were little lot sizes opposite big lot sizes, but a statistical distribution.
Well,
that's one of the reasons why the language, as nebulous as it may seem, is an advantage.
Well, what if we
I
said...
I agree.
In addition to that...
I don't think you want to say anything more beyond the
In addition to that, Mrs. Frigga, your board member will have in front of her a memorandum, probably, from the Community-Based Planning Division that will provide her with an interpretation of the relevant master plan, because that is precisely In the case of the Upper Rock Creek plan, I would be providing a memorandum that says this was our intent in Upper Rock Creek. This is what the guidelines said. This is what the guidelines mean. I therefore am recommending approval of this subdivision because it meets the recommendations and guidelines of the Upper Rock Creek plan. And that will have occurred after probably an extended battle with whoever the developer is to make sure that that happens.
Well, what about where diversity of lots is provided, the planning board must evaluate and ensure that a proposed development is compatible with existing development on adjoining properties and furthers the goals of the zone.
There are two tests.
The trouble is the purpose of the zone doesn't say anything about rural villages that are not too regular. That's not...
We don't have the whole thing in front
of us.
No,
you need to go to that particular section that defines rural neighborhood...
I was looking at the purpose for the rural neighborhood cluster. That we've got a new purpose clause. There's some other purpose?
Pardon me?
Are there other purposes besides the ones in that?
On page 4, the special regulations... That purpose relates to the recommendations and guidelines of the applicable master plan or sector plan.
Special regulations for rural neighborhood cluster zone. Is there some other purpose that governs rural neighborhood cluster zone?
No.
So they do have preserving agrarian character.
We're preserving.
What is here in the intent section of the rural neighborhood cluster zone? This is these are the two relevant paragraphs from the original intent section.
Page 3.
There are three paragraphs in the intent section.
We have intent and have an intent and a purpose.
Yes.
I don't want to think about that.
Please don't refer anything else to my colleague.
I don't even want to think about that. Okay, I won't.
Are you suggesting any changes?
Let me just see its intent.
Anybody suggesting changes?
Well, I had that one. I mean, I make it consistent with the, I would just call it the intent of the zone. The purpose clause of the zone. And then, why can't we just say purposes of the zone and then purposes of the rural neighborhood cluster zone and then just say in the other one that the diversity of lots should be, just what it has now and consistent with the purposes of the rural neighborhood cluster zone. I guess that's obvious.
Purposes and intent.
Well, yeah. Well, they say or intent.
Yeah, that would then. So then at least, so the board must evaluate the range of lot sizes provided and ensure that a proposed development is compatible with existing development and consistent with the
on an adjoining property.
Right, on adjoining properties.
Yeah.
And so you and
yeah.
Consistent with the purpose and intent of the zone.
And consistent with the purpose and intent of the zone.
So move.
And can we just, can we relabel that?
No.
59C9.2, purpose and intent of the zone, so that we're referring to the same.
I'm sorry.
See how this title says purposes or intent of the zone? Just relabel it.
My motion incorporates changing the title to correspond with the language.
And
yeah.
Okay, just make sure that the same language is in the same language as in the diversity.
Titles can be tricky. That's like the staff.
Okay, fine.
All right. You seconding that?
Yes, I second it.
All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Vote. The staff report is adopted as amended. Banneker Middle School.
What about number 19? Number 19, yeah.
Oh, number 19.
I know you were Tyler Ross, but.
Number 19. The overlay zone.
One more.
Again, Greg Russ from Development Review. Mary Dolan will take the lead on this, but I think there have been maybe some minor edits to what was originally sent to the county council in terms of a transmittal letter originally, and I'll let Mary address those if you have questions related to those.
But don't be dumb. No.
My only observation is that the staff on pages 3 and 4 made a decision that exemption should be specifically stated as opposed to using a waiver provision, and I strongly support that recommendation on the part of the staff.
All right. If there are no questions, someone want to move the staff recommendation?
Move approval to staff recommendation on item 19, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
All in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Staff report is adopted unanimously. Now we will do Banneker Middle School.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. For the record, Calvin Nelson with Community-Based Planning, and with me is Candy Bernard with Countywide Planning. This is a mandatory referral for Banneker Middle School, which includes a preliminary final and water plan for the mandatory referral, which is item number 20, and 21 is the mandatory referral. Basically, what this mandatory referral is about, Montgomery County Public Schools is proposing to reconfigure the parking lot and the bus turnaround at the school. This is for increased safety as well as for a more efficient circulation system for the school. DPS has reviewed and conditionally approved their portion of the water quality plan. The school is within the Upper Paint Branch Special Protection Area, and the reconfiguration of these of the lots will not increase the amount of imperviousness that is presently on the site. It will conform to the environmental overlay zone and is exempt from the forest conservation requirements. Staff finds that the mandatory referral is in conformance with the Fairland Master Plan, with the requirements of the R200 zone, in conformance with the special protection area and other environmental and transportation requirements. Staff recommends approval of the mandatory referral and the transmittal of the comments. I'll be happy to, Candy and I will be happy to address any questions that you may have at this time.
Gentlemen, are you from MCPS?
My name is Ray Trout. I'm representing the Montgomery County Public Schools. This is our consultant engineer, Matt Willems, representing A. Morton Thomas.
All right. Are you in agreement with our staff's recommendations or not?
Yes, we are.
Okay.
Good. No speakers.
No speakers.
No speakers.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chairman, you just a point. You have to do the water quality plan first.
Yep. Getting ready to do that.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, I move that
the water quality plan is based on the mandatory referral that's presented to us.
Yes.
Mr. Chair, I move that we approve the preliminary and final water quality plan for the mandatory referral, Banneker Middle School.
Second.
All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That's unanimous.
Mr. Chair, I move that we approve the mandatory referral for Banneker Middle School.
Second.
All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
And that's unanimous. So the water quality plan and the mandatory referral are both approved unanimously. Thank you for your patience.
Thank you very much.
Go forth and build. Item 22, preliminary plan, Black Rock Estates in Germantown. Yep.
Thanks.
Go ahead, Dolores.
Good afternoon. My name is Dolores Kinney. I am with the Development Review Division. This is preliminary plan number 1-04095, and it's entitled Black Rock Estates. The property is located on the west side of Germantown Road. It contains approximately 1.74 acres and is zoned R200. This is a preliminary plan for a subdivision of one lot. The lot will contain one single-family development. The access to the property will be from Germantown Road, and one forest conservation easement is proposed on the property. Staff recommends approval with standard conditions.
Thank you. Sir?
My name is Joe Steinbach. I'm representing the owner, Tamara Corporation. We agree with the staff report, except we are requesting that the condition number 5 will be removed. It's redundant. The State Highway Administration do not have a letter of August 16th. There is a letter of August 26th where the State Highway Administration recommends approval of this plan. So the State Highway on item number 6, on condition 6, gets what they need for the access. So I'm requesting, and I talked to staff about it, and they told me that they agreed. So we are requesting to remove number 5.
Dolores, do you agree?
We have no problems with that recommendation. That's a standard condition that we normally include in our conditions of approval.
Do you agree with taking it out or not?
Sure, that's fine. Yes.
Yes, she agrees to take it out. All right. So,
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I must say that we thank very much Greg Cook from the State Highway Administration for his guidance and for his assistance to give us a proper access. Thank you very much.
We'll pass that on to Mr. Cook. All right, then, is there a motion?
Move approval of the staff recommendation.
Second.
All right. Approval of the staff recommendation minus condition number 5. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
That's unanimous.
Thank you
for your patience. And 23 is a preliminary plan review of Woodcrest in Clarksburg.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, I'm Kathy Conlon for the Development Review Division. Item 23 is the Clarksburg preliminary plan. You have seen this plan as a pre-preliminary plan, and you will see it again as a 59D3 site plan. The project is located in Clarksburg. I did prepare a staff memo for you. I can highlight the important points of the development for you or go right to the conditions if whichever you prefer.
You can go right to the conditions.
Okay. Staff is recommending approval of this application with several conditions. We're also recommending approval of the preliminary water quality, the preliminary water quality plan. Our recommendations include recommendations for two waivers. The first waiver is a waiver of the requirement for sidewalks on both sides of a tertiary street. We are recommending approval of a sidewalk on one side of public road B, which on the preliminary plan on the rendering is the street two on the northern property boundary. The applicant has requested a waiver of sidewalk on the portions of the street which do not have lots fronting on those streets, and staff believes that this is an acceptable waiver and that the public will be able to use the street safely in these locations. The second waiver is a waiver of the 100-foot centerline radii for the turnaround at the eastern end of Public Road B. The standard tertiary radii is 100 feet, and staff, pursuant to Section 50-35, is recommending a variance of that standard based on the practical difficulties of creating a neo-traditional style type green space in the middle of that turnaround. We do believe that the waiver that is granted here is the minimum that is necessary for the change, and we think that it's not adverse to the general plan or to the public interest in this case.
Just for purposes of clarification, what I understand you to say is that if we don't grant them the waiver and they had to meet the standard, then there would be no green space.
That is correct.
Okay.
That is correct. I handed out to you before my start revised conditions for this item and one email that was received for it. The revised conditions reflect a change in the notations regarding the waivers in the first part of the conditions. It's correction to say that it is the waiver for the turning radii is pursuant to Section 50-38. The only change to the conditions reflects the fact that the applicant will have to do a small amount of on-site grading prior to coming in with the site plan to carry out some off-site road construction requirements that they have. And these have been looked at by our environmental planning staff, and they are minimal and acceptable to them. So we modified that condition to reflect that.
Okay.
And you have the one email which raises two issues, one with the lighting on the proposed subdivision. Landscape and lighting plan will be looked at in detail as part of the site plan. And the second is a comment regarding the adequacy of the streets for rescue, fire and rescue equipment, and this plan has been reviewed by all of the agencies, was sent to fire and rescue as part of the development review, and we received no adverse comments with regard to that concern.
Well, now, this is coming back to us?
Yes, it will be coming back to you as a site plan.
All right, because I had this disturbing line about the CCA insisting that lighting should be a full cutoff to prevent lighting the dark skies also has the effect of minimizing the safety of the people who are depending on the light, who are going to be living there. So when you look at their plan, we need to keep that in mind also.
Well, the idea of a cutoff fixture is it shines the light down on the ground, provides security, but not up.
Oh, that's my understanding.
Presumably people are not going to be attacked from above.
Well, but she said full cutoff, and it was the full part that I was concerned about. I know about cutoff, but in any event, that's the idea.
I'm sure we did this in our...
Larry, why don't you go ahead and state your name for the record so we can get to a decision.
I'm Larry Gordon with Shulman Rogers. To my left is Chuck Ellison with Miller & Smith, the applicant. To my right, Kevin Foster with Gutschick, Little & Weber. And we do have one comment with regard to Condition 8, which we'd like to offer into the record, if we may.
Please.
Condition 8 is the condition that deals with constructing the link of A305. We wanted the board to know that in addition to this preliminary plan, the Woodcrest preliminary plan, Miller & Smith recently filed a pre-application for a project called Tapestry. It's pre-application 7-04062. That's located along 355, bisected by West Old Baltimore Road. Under the annual growth policy that was in effect when Miller & Smith first started talking about these projects with your transportation staff, in particular Ron Welke, who is here today, construction of this segment, this link of A305, would have satisfied staging ceiling for both Woodcrest and Tapestry. And it was to accomplish that dual objective that Miller & Smith proposed the road improvement, the link of A305 from 355 to Clarksburg Road. Under the current AGP, you don't have staging ceiling as part of the transportation review anymore. But nonetheless, the Tapestry pre-application and subsequent preliminary plan are going to come before this board in the very near future. And under these circumstances, we would still request the board's consideration of the A305 link referenced in Condition 8 when you review the Tapestry plan when that comes forward. We anticipate having Tapestry participate in the A305 link as part of its preliminary plan. So we just wanted to offer that background. And again, Ron Welke, as we understand it, will be retired when
that's my concern.
Forward.
He's backing it now, but where will he be tomorrow?
Well, he's here today. And we're here today. So we have reviewed this with Ron. He's here and can certainly confirm this if you would like.
Now, in 20 words or less, that means that whatever you propose to build before, you're still going to build now?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Okay.
I did have one quick question, which is idle curiosity, but since the chairman's made up the time, what's the property to the north of your site? It's got that kind of that odd-looking structure on it.
That is
that
the...
way. Yes, you've got it.
That's the maintenance facility for Little Bennett Regional Park.
Thank you.
Oh, that's ours.
That's
huh?
us.
That's so, oops.
Oops, just curiosity.
Mr. Chair, I move approval of the staff recommendation as modified.
Second.
Does that include the waivers?
That includes the waivers, yes.
And have we made the findings on the waivers?
Those
findings are in the
it should be
revised.
Not
are
only,
they in the revised conditions?
It's not only in the revised condition, but it should be a part of the testimony.
It was in the staff report, and it was in what Kathy commented.
Okay. In response to my question.
Okay.
That's why I asked the question.
Yeah, okay. And I'll certainly support that since Allison highlighted the issue of lighting. I will say that when this comes before us as a site plan, and it will, right?
Yes, it will.
I will be looking closely at that question as well. I don't think the dark sky issue is frivolous, especially given that you are right next to Little Bennett Park, where people go to camp. It's the only park in our system that has overnight camping, and I think to the extent possible, the folks who go camping would probably like to see some stars when the weather's nice, and as development in Clarksburg continues, it's going to be harder and harder to see those stars. So that's going to change. There's going to be a change in the quality of what you can see, but to the extent that we can reduce the amount of skyward light, I think that's a good thing. But we'll debate that at site plan. It's not something we need to debate today.
Kathy, water quality is...
I was going to say, do we have to pass on water quality?
The preliminary water quality plan approval is also a part of this.
So your motion encompasses both, Mr. Bryant?
Yes, it did.
All right. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That's unanimous.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Record plats.
For the record, Richard Weaver. We have quite a few record plats that have piled up over our
hiatus.
Impressive pile, and they are all in order.
Move approval, Mr. Chairman.
All in favor of approving record plats, please say aye.
Aye.
And that sounds like it's unanimous as well, and we are adjourned until the week after next.
Six 6:45.
Yeah. We picked up the time.